presenting radio's foremost laboratory of writing and production techniques, the Columbia Workshop, coming to you today from Hollywood.
Fifteen years ago, a couple of young fellows worked together in the Columbia Network studios in New York City. One was a studio control engineer named Irving Reese, who later went on to become the original director of the Columbia Workshop and is now a director at the RKO Studios in Hollywood. The other youngster was a clarinetist in the staff orchestra. He, too, went on from there. His name is Artie Shaw. Today, on the 10th anniversary of the Columbia Workshop, Irving Reese returns as guest director of Artie Shaw's radio adaptation of The Pied Piper of Hamelin, based on the poem by Robert Browning, with an original musical score composed and conducted by Mr. Shaw, who also plays the pipe of the Pied Piper. Our narrator, whose voice is the next you will hear, is the celebrated American author and humorist, Mr. Donald Ogden Stewart.
This is the story of the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Well, once upon a time, in a far-off land on the bank of a broad blue river, there stood a little town, and the name of this town was Hamelin. The story I'm going to tell you happened many, many years ago when your great-great-grandfather was a little boy, and it concerns a person who is known as the Pied Piper. And since the story happened in the town of Hamelin, perhaps it'll be just as well if I told you a little about the place. In those days, Hamelin was a very peaceful little town. Or at least I thought it was peaceful. What do you suppose is going on here?
I don't know what we're going to do if it doesn't stop.
Imagine my whole birthday cake absolutely. I declare, something ought to be done immediately.
Looks like something exciting. Wonder who that tall, impressive, skinny gent is. He seems to be the head man around here. Maybe I can find out something from him.
All right, now. That's enough. Let's all go up to the town hall right now and see that our mayor gives us some action.
Yes. Good for nothing,
powerful of ours.
Come on, let's go.
Pardon me, sir, but what seems to be the trouble?
Well, you must be a stranger here.
I suppose you might call it that.
Here's a stranger, friend. He doesn't know what's been going on.
We've had nothing but rats here.
Rats. Yes, friend, rats. Thousands of them. Millions of them. They fight the dogs and kill the cats.
Eat the cheese out of the bat. Split open the kegs of salt. It's brass.
Big nest inside our Sunday hats.
And even spoil our little chat by drowning our speaking with shrieking and squeaking in 50 different shops and flats.
And there you are. And we've had enough of it. We're on our way to the town hall right now.
All right, let's go.
We can all stay here and talk all night.
This sounds interesting. Let's go along and see what happens.
Quiet. After all, I'm still your mayor, don't forget.
Yes, and don't forget us. We're still your city council, too.
Don't worry. We won't forget.
Quiet, please. A fine mayor and council indeed. To think we buy gowns lined with ermine for imbeciles who can't determine a way to rid us of our vermin.
Mama, what vermin?
Rats. Hush, stop squirming.
Well, I was only trying to understand.
You hope because you're old and obese, the find in the furry civic robe, East?
Yeah, how about that? That's our boy talking.
Let's kill him, Pop.
Oh, get him. Obese Robie.
Ain't it wonderful the way he goes on?
Mama.
Yes?
What's obese?
Fat. Hush, I said.
Well, I was only trying to...
Rouse up, sirs. Give your brains a racking to find the remedy we're lacking. Or, sure as fate, we'll send you packing.
Well, I promised to do my very best.
Yes, and we won.
Huh?
I mean, promise to.
This I gotta see.
What are we going to do now?
All I know is we better do something.
And fast, too.
Well, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
Oh, for a twap.
A twap! A twap!
Just as they say this, what should happen at the chamber door? A gentle tap.
In the closet.
Under the
drawer.
In the clock.
Where are you?
Right here, under the table.
Yes.
What do you suppose is that? Only a scraping of shoes on the mat?
Anything like the sound of a rat makes my heart go pitter-pat.
The mayor tries looking bigger. And in comes now the strangest figure. His queer long coat from heel to head is half of yellow and half of red. He himself is tall and thin with sharp blue eyes, each like a pin, and light loose hair, yet swarthy skin, no tuft on cheek or beard or chin, but lips where he smiles go out and in, and there's no guessing his kith and kin. Nobody can enough admire the tall man and his quaint attire.
Amazing.
Astounding. Never saw anything like it in all my born days.
Jeepers.
Quiet, please, gentlemen. Now, what is your business at this council table?
If it please your honors, I'm able by means of a secret charm to draw all creatures living neath the sun that creep or swim or fly or run after me so as you never saw. And I chiefly use my charm on creatures that do people harm. The mole and toad and newt and viper.
Well, tell us your name.
Yes, tell us your name.
Well, people call me the Pied Piper.
Please, gentlemen. Well, state your business, Mr. Piper.
Suppose I was to get rid of your rats for you. Would you give me $1,000?
One?
50,000.
Okay, gentlemen. You got yourself a deal.
You mean you can wheelie widow?
By 1 hour after sunup, you won't find a rat in all the length and breadth of Hamlin Town.
Well, we've certainly been through a pretty exciting evening. course, everybody was a little nervous and overwrought. But now the word has got around about the Piper's bargain with the mayor, and everybody's sleeping peacefully for a change. Yes, 5 o'clock and all's well with Hamlin Town. Tomorrow morning, no more rats to worry about. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, they'll get up in the morning and eat their breakfast and go to work in peace again. And the rats will all seem like a bad dream. Now dawn spreads her pink fingers across the eastern sky. Sleep, which knits up the raveled sleeve of care and blesses man with sweet forgetfulness. Gentle sleep. Nature's soft nurse. Hey, wait. I almost forgot. It's morning. And here comes the Pied Piper. Jiminy, I've got to get to work. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Donald Ogden Stewart speaking to you from a vantage point overlooking the main street of Hamlintown of Hamlintown. We are about to witness what promises to be one of the most spectacular contests of all times. One lone man who will pit himself single-handed against the grim menace which has threatened to strip every larder and cupboard in the town of Hamlin. Yes, folks, one lone man against swarming thousands of voracious vermin. Armed with but a thin black pipe, this intrepid minstrel is about to fling his challenge into the teeth of the ravenous hordes of Hamilton's ratdom. The arena in which this titanic struggle is to be staged is the main street of the town. As yet, none of the principal contestants has put in an appearance. However, listen closely, folks, and you will hear the sound of the approaching Pied Piper. But while we're waiting, let me just take a moment, folks, to tell you. It's a beautiful morning here in Hamlintown. Red ball of a sun is just peeping around the side of the snow-capped Koppelberg Hill, right outside of town. And there's a soft breeze blowing in from the Blue Weser River, which you can just see over the tiled rooftops of the village, where it cuts across the end of Main Street at the ferry wharf. Uh-oh, here comes the Pied Piper around the corner now. It's a shame the townsfolk are not awake to witness this magnificent spectacle. The Pied Piper, ladies and gentlemen, is dressed to kill. His coat is a startling pattern of tremendous red and yellow checks. He's wearing a glittering something that looks like a gold keychain that dangles all the way down to the tops of his bright yellow shoes and jingles against the cuffs of his peg trousers. And perched at a jaunty angle, folks, on his head is a sort of a pork pie hat with a long green feather waving in the breeze. Now, he steps to the center of the street, darts a quick glance around. Now he's raising his pipe to his lips. An odd little smile comes over his face. He takes a deep breath. He's about to blow. Listen. But where are the rats? Don't they hear him? Will the Pied Piper fail? Will the rats come out? Will the mayor keep his promise? tune in at the same time. I beg your pardon. Back to the piper. He doesn't seem to be getting any results. Unless it could be. What's that sound? Coming closer. Listen. The Pied Piper's face is purple, ladies and gentlemen. And now all Hamlintown's awake. Heads are popping out of windows and... Look! Out of the house, the rats come tumbling. Great rats, small rats, lean rats, brawny rats, brown rats, black rats, gray rats, tawny rats, grave old plodders, gay young festers, fathers, mothers, uncles, cousins, cocking tails and pricking whiskers, families by tens and dozens, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, follow the piper for their lives. Advancing, and step by step they follow, dancing. And now the pipe keeper has reached the very edge of the wharf. One more step, and he'll plunge into the river. But no, he's stepping aside, and the rats keep dancing as if enchanted. Straight ahead over the edge of the wharf, and there they go! Hundreds and thousands of them, into the swift-flowing current, which carries them around the bend and out of sight. Listen to the Hamlin people ringing the bells till they rock the steeple.
I, the mayor of Hamlin Town,
yes, and we, the council too,
will see to it that not even a trace of rats is left. And that never again throughout our fair city will any rat dare to show his ugly face. And now, as your mayor...
And as your council, too,
I do hereby issue a proclamation. It is the duty of all able-bodied citizens to provide themselves with big, warm poles and poke out the nests and block up the holes.
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Yes, what are you waiting for? Slam, you guys!
That sure was a wonderful speech.
Thank you, Councilman. I'm glad you liked it. I thought it was pretty good myself. Say, will we think we're rid of those wats for good?
Of course we will.
Well, that's that, I guess. Let's go get some wine.
Just a moment, gentlemen. Haven't you forgotten something?
Well, hello, Mr. Piper.
Fancy meeting you here.
Well, it sure is a great day for Hamlin. Such a relief to be finally rid of those, isn't it lovely weather we're having? Well, back to the old grind, huh?
Yes, that's right, man. Back to the old grind.
Well, good day, Mr. Piper.
But, Jim?
Yes?
Our little agreement?
Why, of course, our agreement. Isn't that silly? I almost forgot.
Yes, isn't that silly? We almost forgot.
Well, that's all right. But it's time for me to be running along now. And if it's all the same to you, gentlemen, I'd like my money now.
Just how much money was that again, Mr. Piper? I forget.
Yeah, we forget.
Well, Jim... Didn't we all agree it was to be $1,000?
$1,000? I don't remember any such figure as that. Do you, Councilman?
No. We don't remember any such figure as that. Do you, Mayor?
No, I don't remember. Do you, Councilman?
No, we don't remember. Do you, Mayor?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, come, come now, gentlemen. A bargain's a bargain.
Besides, our business was done at the river's brink. We saw with our eyes the vermin sink, and what's dead can't come to life, I think. So, friend, we're not the folks to shrink from the duty of giving you something for drink and a matter of money to put in your poke. But as for the thousand, what we spoke of that, as you very well know, was a joke. Besides, our losses have made us 50. $1,000? Come, take 50.
Bucks!
I see, gentlemen. That's the way you're going to play it. Well, folks who put me in a passion may find me piped to another fashion.
Is that a threat?
Yes. Is that a threat?
Yes, gentlemen. That's a threat.
You threaten us, fella. Do your worst.
Yes. Blow your pipe then till you burst.
My name is Pied Piper.
That's a funny name. My name's Hansel.
And mine's Gretel.
Now, there's a fine couple of pouty names. And you're a fine couple of children, too.
Mr. Piper, what's that you're holding in your hand?
Well, that's my pipe. And that's why they call me the Piper. Tell me, Hansel and Gretel, do you like music?
Oh, yes. We like music fine.
Well, I tell you what you do. You run and get all your friends together and meet me down on the main street in half an hour, and we'll have ourselves a little concert.
Well, it looks as if every kid in Hamlin Town is coming out here to listen to the Pied Piper. He's walking along Main Street now, playing that funny little tune. They're all dancing out into the street after him. Small feet are pattering, wooden shoes clattering, little hands clapping and little tongues chattering, like fowls in a barnyard when barley is scattering. Out come the children, running. All the little boys and girls with rosy cheeks and flaxen curls and sparkling eyes and teeth like pearls, tripping and skipping, run merrily after the wonderful music with shouting and laughter. See, there's something about all this, though, I don't like too much. The Piper is heading straight for the river. A lot of the kids' parents are out here watching. I think they're getting a little worried, too. Of course, I don't think he'd try. I still don't like it. Let's take a run over there and see.
Oscar, they're going too far away. Call Hans back.
Hans, come back. Come back, you hear me?
He won't listen. Stop him, Oscar. They're going straight to the river.
Hans, come back here, Hans.
Come back, Willie.
Susie, come here. Don't you hear me?
Tina, please come back.
Don't somebody please do something.
Where's the man?
Yes, call the man. They'll stop them.
He started this whole thing.
Well, where is he now?
What? Look, they're almost at the wall.
What's going on here?
Stop there. Can't you see?
They're going straight into the river.
Hurry! Yes, stop there. Mr. Piper, come back here to your ears. Come back. Please.
The Pied Piper keeps going straight ahead. And the children are right behind him. This looks very bad. If something doesn't happen very soon, it's going to be... Wait a minute. Wait. They've turned off. And the whole town is after them. They're headed straight for Copperberg Hill. Maybe the townsfolk will be able to stop them there. Surely the Pied Piper won't try to climb over the mountain.
He can never cross that mighty top.
He'll be forced to let the piping drop.
And you shall see your children stop.
But look, as they reach the mountainside... A wondrous portal opens wide, as if the mountain were suddenly hollow, and the piper goes in, and the children follow. And as they go in to the very last, the door in the mountainside shuts fast. Alas, alas for Hamlin. The mayor sent east, west, north, and south to offer the piper by word of mouth wherever he thought a man could find him silver and gold to his heart's content if he'd only return the way he went and bring the children behind him. But when he saw it was a lost endeavor and piper and children were gone forever, he became a very sad man. And from that day on, till the day he died, no one in all Hamlin Town ever spoke a word to him again. Yes, he became a sad and lonely little man. And each day of his life, he would wander forlornly around the base of Copperberg Hill, searching in vain for the door in the mountainside. But he never found it. And during the many, many years of his hopeless search, the only thing that kept him from giving up all hope was that occasionally it would seem to him that he could hear, from far inside the mountain,
"Please, Mr. Piper, please bring back our children."
But it must have been only his imagination, because from that day to this, no one in the whole wide world has ever again seen or heard the Pied Piper of Hamelin. But through the special facilities of the Columbia Broadcasting System, we now take you deep into the interior of Copperberg Hill, where we have prevailed upon the Pied Piper to give us a statement regarding his position in this entire manner. Ladies and gentlemen, the next voice you will hear will be that of the Pied Piper. Take it away, Copperberg.
Pied Piper speaking. All I gotta say is, don't go messing with the piper, or you're gonna get yourself into a permanent jam. Says.
Columbia Workshop has presented its 10th anniversary program, The Pied Piper of Hamlin, with Donald Ogden Stewart as narrator. The script and the musical score were written by Artie Shaw, who also played the pipe of the Pied Piper. The program was directed by Irving Reese, who was the original director of the Columbia Workshop 10 years ago, and is now directing Dory Sherry's production of The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer for RKO. The Pied Piper was produced for the Columbia Workshop by William N. Robeson.